me, welcome me, Bonnie.
Thanks to all the brave souls who came out today in this weather. For the newcomers and for anybody else, this is just my story, like my share. And so if you don't hear something, just keep coming back, and you will. I brought three photos. They're written on the back. I have brought photos before, but I usually brought only my fat photos. But I had to go through some photo albums this week to make a little photo album for a friend of mine who's not feeling well. And so I found some other ones. So anyway, and then I have something written on the back of them as well. So I had a pity party this week. I wasn't feeling well. And so I can't remember, I guess it was on Tuesday, I was sitting in my rocking chair just kind of like hanging on. That's why I have a cough drop in my mouth, because I don't want to start coughing in the middle of this. And and then on Wednesday morning, I have a sponsee who calls me at 7. And so we were talking, and, you know, I was kind of, you know, on a roll. And then, and you know, with program experience. And then I said, oh, I wish I could remember that by Saturday, but I knew I wouldn't. And and I don't. But anyway, that kind of helped to remind me that I could do some writing. And what I was thinking when I was in my pity party is, like, I have nothing to share. I'm just like a piece of crap, you know, like what could I possibly say? And so then I wrote to my higher power. I learned in a writing, was at a convention, and the subject of this one room was writing, and there was three people who talked about how they write. And one of them said that they always start with "Dear God," and then they write, and then they end with "Amen, thank you, God, love," and then your name. That person's in this room, and I don't even know if they remembered saying that, but I have done that since that time, and that was a lot of years ago. So anyway, the way that I wrote "Dear God," and then I said, "I'm just not feeling, you know, this and that," and then God said, "Oh, not perfect, really," you know, and I just went, "Oh, right, not perfect." And then what came to mind was, I once heard a story about how the ancient Persians, when they made these beautiful rugs, they could have made them and the design all perfect, but they always put in a flaw, like a mistake. And because what they felt was, is that only God was perfect. And nothing other than God, anything man-made, anything, any person, was not perfect. And so I have a lot more than one flaw in my rug if I was a Persian rug. So anyway, let's do the numbers. Is something that I hear when I listen to NPR, and there's kind of a business thing, and it says, "And we'll come back and let's do the numbers." And I always think, oh God, let's not do the numbers, you know. But for the numbers, for it, I've been in program 19 years, and I came in February of 97. And I've maintained about between a 40 and a 50-pound weight loss since that time. And that's just an incredible miracle. I came in, I was a size 3X and everything, and probably bigger in pants, I'm not even sure. And now I'm a size 14, 16. And I find it okay to be that size occasionally, but most of the time I think I should be thinner. But as you'll see in the pictures coming around, You know, I have been able to, for the last 15 years, I had a relapse when I was 4 years in. Is that 5 minutes? Thanks. And so for 15 years, I have been able to have one size of clothes. And after a while, I'm not sure when, I got rid of all the skinny clothes and I got rid of all the fat clothes. And I just have one size. And whatever the you know, season is, then it just, they always fit. And I'm always hoping they'll be a little big. But so far, that hasn't happened. But I just realize that's up to God and not up to me. And, you know, so, and that's just such a miracle. Such a miracle. Because I could always diet until I couldn't diet anymore. And then I got up to one of those pictures that's in there. And I stayed that way for quite a while. And then I finally came in. In 1997. So I did come for the vanity, but I stayed for the sanity, which is absolutely so true for me. My first abstinence was to not eat something that I thought everybody in my family ate, but it turned out I was the only person that ate it. When I stopped eating it, it just stayed there. And, you know, so that denial sometimes still stays with me. And recently, and now remember 19 years, so let's say like that was February, so this is December. I have a sponsor that I go through the steps with, and I share my writing. And they said, you know, sugar comes up a lot in your writing, you know. And I went, oh, you know, and they said, well, you might want to think about, you know, like just giving it up, you know, maybe just try it for like 30 days. And I thought, oh, okay. And because I never thought that sugar was a real problem for me, and because, you know, I felt like I could take it or leave it. Like if I was going to a birthday party or something, I think, well, maybe I'll decide to have a piece of cake, but maybe I won't. Well, did I ever decide not to have a cupcake or a piece of cake? I don't think so. So anyway, this was when pumpkin spice lattes come out, so I know it was November, December, right in there, because they were in my writing, because I realized that I couldn't get a cup of coffee without having a pumpkin spice latte. So anyway, that's when they mentioned this, and I thought, oh, okay. Well, of course, it was everywhere. I was just in that, you know, denial phase again, you know? It was just... So I did stop, and I thought, okay, you know. And so then every day I would say, yeah, still not eating it. Yeah, still not eating it. Yeah, still not eating it. Now I just say, I'll just tell you if I eat it. And it's just absolutely amazing how pervasive it is in our culture, in my life, everywhere, how it's, you tell people that you're not eating it because of whatever, and they'll still say, oh, but this is, you know, sugar-free. Well, I don't do the sugar-free stuff either. And this is new. This is new, just since end of November, December for me. And one day at a time, it's a miracle. So my sponsor just asked me, this week, they couldn't be here, and so they wanted to talk with me about my share. And they said, well, you know, how's it feeling, you know? Like, how's it going? And I said, well, what's happened is that I have a lot more clarity, and I have a lot more peace and serenity, because then I know I just don't eat it. I don't have to fool myself and say, oh, well, maybe I will or maybe I won't. I just don't. But that's not me, obviously. That's just a power greater than myself. So that's what's going on for me right now in terms of the food. Sometimes I'm good with 3 meals a day. with possibly a snack, an apple later. But mostly since I've retired, I'm in my fourth year of retirement, 2012, June, I retired. Sometimes I get up a little bit later. Sometimes I stay up later. So sometimes it's like four little meals. And sometimes it's two meals, like a mid-morning meal and then an early afternoon meal and then maybe a snack. And a snack is usually just an apple. And that's only like a possibility. And that's all a total miracle. I mean, you know, that's just, but I don't seem to be able to just stick to the three meals a day, you know, with a snack, because my schedule and my body just, you know, tells me. Other things that I do that I don't do anymore is procrastinate. That was one of my early, we didn't have an action plan at that time, so I just put it on my abstinence. No procrastination, no lying, and then again, not perfect. So if I do lie, I have to make an amends, because usually I've lied to someone or I've lied about something, and then I have to make an amends, and that's just a lot harder than being honest in the first place, you know, to go back and make an amends. But anyway, that's what I do. And if I feel like I'm procrastinating, well, then I have to look at, am I prioritizing? Has my list just gotten way too long and way too much than I can possibly do? Or am I procrastinating? And if I feel like, oh yeah, I was procrastinating, well then I do whatever it was I wasn't doing right then. Like that has to move up to the top of the list if I've been putting it off. So those are a couple of things. Sometimes the behaviors, the eating behaviors that I don't do or that I stay away from are eating while I'm driving. You know, that when I first came in was a really dangerous thing, you know, to be trying to find your, you know, snack in your purse or have dropped it on the floor and you're, you know, driving down the road. So I realized that was not good. So, no second helpings, no clearing when I had, when I taught school and when I had children at home, no eating what the children don't eat. Because kids at school, they'll throw deli sandwiches in the garbage. And before I came in, I was digging them out. You know, or I'd say, if you're not going to eat something, and I'd have a bin so that somebody else could eat it. But that somebody else was me, because the kids didn't want it. They already ate all the crap that they, you know, so they put all, you know. So, and then, of course, my own children. And now it has to do with my grandchildren. Is I just don't eat what the kids don't eat. You know, so, because that's not my food. And I guess I came from, you know, the Depression area parents where you had to eat everything on your plate. And, you know, so throwing that food away was a real gift of the program, a gift of a power greater than myself to do that. So I don't do that anymore. I just want to make sure that I touch on all this stuff, because since I was sick, I didn't know if I would remember anything, because my brain has been so foggy. But the other thing, a food behavior that I had to give up was not eating while I'm cooking. Oh, let's just see if this tastes good. And then pretty soon you've eaten like most of your meal, and then you put it on the table and then you eat it. That's what, that was me, you know. So I don't eat while I'm cooking for the most part. Sometimes if it's a new recipe, I don't know why it is. Like, I don't know if I'm the only person, but you get this recipe and then you're going to go to somebody's house for a potluck, so you think, oh, I'll try this new recipe. You know, what's up with that? You know, like, you don't even know if it's going to be any good. So sometimes I'll, you know, like, I'll take a little bite of that before I take it to somebody else's house. So those are the food behaviors, because in our abstinence, 5 more minutes? Oh, that's it? Okay. I'm going to close up with what works for me. What I've been doing is steps, sponsorship early on, continued service is slimming, and prayer. And one of my favorite prayers is the 11-step prayer, taken from Alcoholics Anonymous traditions and book. And if I had time to read it, I would, but it's a little bit long. It's, Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, is how it starts. And thank you very much for letting me share.